fuck like you call Giannis name. You don't like it? Well, fuck it, you don't have to listen. I'm speaking facts, when I talk, I know it's something different. I'm in the first state, crumbing like I'm first place. I talk that terrible shit, but you got worse takes. I got no anger for haters, that shit don't even matter. Cause when I finish the show, I'll grab some wine after. So let me get on this mic and make your brain freeze. I'ma do it my way, so all the lames leave. It's just me, you know I'm careful of fakes. So sit back and listen while I spit my terrible takes. Yo!
Oh shit, here we go. Back at it. And look, this Cody shit, man. I wish it was living rent-free so I could figure it out. But it's literally just what's on TV. It's the idea of this guy being the legit final boss for everyone else in the company is fucking hysterical. It's fucking hysterical. I just don't understand it. I really don't. We're going to watch SmackDown together for part of this episode with that promo. And I wish there was a little bit of feedback here where we can talk back and forth. But this guy, the way he talks, the way he walks, the way he, like, he just, he loves playing the part. But my problem, and the reason why I bring this up, is that I guess the right way to say it is that WWE is at an all-time high. And Cody is at an all-time high. Without Roman, without Cody, I think LA Knight is still this strong, right? Because he has been. I think Logan Paul is still this good. Everything Kevin Owens is doing, the Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar stuff, like that's all still hot. But what actually carries the company, right? What actually allows them to make the money they do to claim that they're at an all-time high? There was an incredible desire to see Cody win by a lot of people, as you see the reactions at WrestleMania. And I get that, and I support the Cody win. So now you guys have what you wanted. It's over now. Now that Cody's champ, what are we supposed to get? And who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Was it the guy on Raw who was given back a wartime overture? Why does Cody do this? Why does he talk in ways that it's like, just, you know, he dresses above a normal sentence. So he speaks above a normal sentence. But his gravitas, his swag, his chest outness, if you will, just isn't there. He sounds like a fucking nerd who, and with all due respect to nerds, because I mean, I'm a fucking nerd. I have a wrestling podcast and I can talk sports all day and love the Marvel movies. Now, yes, I don't go to Comic-Con, but anyway, point is, he's a fucking, he is an American nightmare. That's what the fuck he is. So I'm gonna play SmackDown right now. Let's get to the beginning of this. I don't know if you guys can hear it. I'm actually gonna turn it down a bit until we get to the points where we gotta get to, and I'll fast forward. But this fucking opening promo was just so ass. And maybe I'll turn it up so it can be played and then I'll comment on it afterwards. But the fucking crowd loves him, right? And I've said it on this show and every show I could, that as they were, the crowd was singing his song, right? The whole, whoa, they were doing and he wasn't. He had a disconnect from the crowd that was given to him by his song. The song is over, right? Whoop that trick. We were in Philly for Trick Williams. Whoop that trick is over. way more over than Trick Williams is. And Trick, I think, is doing a phenomenal job, but he will never be more over than his song, i.e. Cody. Cody's very similar. The song is always going to be there. The lyrics are always going to be there. The whoa-oh is always going to be there. That's not going anywhere. And it's going to be over forever. Even when people want to boo him, they're going to sing the song because people like singing songs. Let's see. Let me get to the fucking reason why I hate this fucking promo. You know, you get the You Deserve It. You get the Cody chance. So, and the guy can't hold a fucking belt. Figure out how to hold a title. He should be spending hours in front of the mirror. How does this look best? And, all right, so here we go. Let's see if I can turn this up for you.
What do you guys want to talk about?
All right, so he does the what do you guys want to talk about instead of what do you want to talk about. And when he mixes that up, number one, when he doesn't stay consistent on that, it feels to me like it's a lack of character awareness. Austin didn't go from what chance to why chance. And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold Steve Austin said so. No, because Stone Cold said so. Your gimmick is your gimmick. Your lines are your lines. And he takes that for granted. Cody takes that for granted. But I also think it's because he doesn't care about that. I think he cares about playing the part as champion. So he starts off with, what do you guys want to talk about? And for me, that nuance is a beginning of disconnect. So here we go.
This past Monday, I was out here doing some talking, and I was interrupted by The Rock.
Man, Cody snaps his neck. I hope you guys can hear this. Let me stand a little bit closer to TV. But Cody says, I was interrupted by The Rock. The crowd boos. Cody snaps his neck like he doesn't believe that they would boo. All right.
As his music hit and he strolled out here, I was thinking about somebody I know, somebody who happens to be from Detroit, and what would they say? And I think it went a little something like this. Who the hell told you tonight was open mic night, bitch?
Okay. Now, Cody delivers a line that his wife said in AEW when it comes to The Rock. That also doesn't apply to the actual promo and segment that Rock and Cody had. So when he goes, who the hell told you it was open mic night, bitch, right? With the inflection that he did, it's as if during that promo on Monday, Cody got the upper hand, beat him down, sent him packing. These are the nuances that I watch in the people telling me stories that either I grab on or I don't. If he beat the shit out of Rock because he came out and was like, who the hell told you it was open mic night, bitch? Bang. Done. Great job, Cody. But see, there's rules for shit talking, right? When it comes to shit talking, you have to give and receive. And you cannot lie when you shit talk. Because the second you lie when you shit talk, you can get cut out by the truth. You can get knocked down by the truth. So all shit talk has to be, as wrestlers say, ribbing on the square, kidding on the square. When you say a line like, who the hell told you it was open mic night, bitch? That is to tell the other person, I beat you. I won. Now, yes, he won the title. Yes, it was his moment, but it's not as if he overcame The Rock in that segment. Furthermore, allow me to press play.
Forgive me for cursing.
Forgive me for cursing.
I don't know what's gotten into me.
I don't know what's gotten into me.
I can tell you when Rock was in here, the air got a little colder.
So he just had a little sarcasm there. But again, what that proves is the line was gratuitous and didn't have to be there. Yes, love your family, love your wife, love your daughter. Okay, go ahead. I love my family. I've done a lot to fight for it. Given up a lot to keep it, okay? So when you're telling stories this way, I need to see the passion. But what he did is he laid out a line for his wife and AEW marks. Because the only thing that the crowd bid on was the bitch part. He is living this life where he's blending both AEW and WWE, and he is the only one in on it. He's the only one in on it. And it comes off so flat. It happens every time. Every time. I think I got my bullet cufflinks on. No pop, right? Because they don't care. The people that cheer him in these WWE stadiums are not AEW fans. They're Cody Rhodes fans that are glad he's back. And there's nothing wrong with that. Shouts to a couple of us out there. I was a Stardust fan. A legit Stardust fan. And one of the things, see this why I don't fantasy book, I would have fucking loved if on Monday or Friday, Cody came out in Stardust gear with the belt around his waist. Full face paint and everything. Walks in the center of the ring, takes a towel, wipes it off, and walks away. Because that's way more symbolic and powerful than anything he's fucking said. So Cody backtracks on the cursing with sarcasm. And then picks it up pretty well when it comes to the story. Which means we didn't need the line for his wife. And when you apologize for the cursing, you don't stand behind your words. You lack conviction. But to put out a gratuitous line for your wife, like, okay, great. Like, he's in a spot that I'm not in. You got it. You got it. You win. But it does nothing for us who don't like what the fuck he's talking about. So now he's going to go into what The Rock had to say.
The mood certainly changed. He placed an item in my hand. I instantly knew what it was. It was a wartime overture, if you will, something that I had gifted to The Rock. It was uncomfortable. It was awkward. But I believe The Rock won.
Okay. So he said The Rock gave him a wartime overture. Again, you're wearing a suit, saying suit words or suit sentences. Great. Then he said, it was uncomfortable, it was awkward. My biggest fucking problem watching Monday night is this motherfucker had faces of constipation, confusion, lack of understanding. I did not see uncomfortable. I did not see awkward. What I saw that was awkward and uncomfortable was his performance, not his emotions. Look at his face when he's on Monday night. And this, of course, is coming out on a Monday night. The Monday night after WrestleMania, Cody's acting after he received the gift was not one of what the fuck. He was not scared. He didn't look as if the moment made him awkward. It was awkward to watch him emote. I'm telling you, I got Cody. He's paused on the TV right now. I look at the dude and I want to root for him. He's a guy who wants to be where he's standing right now. And he achieved it. Believe this, if I could have achieved the goals that I set out for myself the way that he has, I'd be on cloud fucking nine right now. Loving life. But for most of us out here, this shit's hard, man. So when people do get the success that he does, you want to believe it. You want to cheer for it. You want to appreciate it. When Samantha Irvin reintroduced him on Monday night, I got fucking chills and emotional at Samantha Irvin's passion for what she does. I could feel her believe ring announcing. but I don't believe what the fuck Cody has to say. Let's press play and see where he goes from here.
Said that he was going off to Hollywood, and I believed him even more when he said that he would be coming back here, and when he did, he would be looking for me. Well, Rock, you do not have to look very far. I will be standing right here.
So Cody basically declaring that he's going to be a fighting champion. He's going to be a champion that shows up a la the opposite of Roman and Brock and all that. Number one, good luck with that. Good luck with staying hot, staying fresh, and keeping those who care, care. Dijak tweeted out right after WrestleMania, you guys are going to turn on him in 6 months. And I just want this tweet out there to prove it. Well, that's an obvious, because I've been calling that. I've been calling that Cody lacks the substance to stay this hot. We saw it with Seth Rollins, right? I compared him with Seth Rollins a lot when it came to beating Brock Lesnar twice in the same year and it doing nothing. And it's because it was all about trying to build up Seth as strong as possible. Done. Cody has been built up as strong as possible, and now it's done. So who's he going to uplift? There was 2 3-person matches to have a one-on-one this coming Friday for a shot at Cody. And it was LA Knight versus Bobby Lashley versus Santos. And then it was Rey Mysterio versus Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles, and LA Knight and AJ Styles won. We are getting a new match with Cody. We are not getting a new challenger for the title. We're also not going to get someone who needs Cody's rub at the next event. Now, if they put LA Knight versus Cody Rhodes, good luck. Good luck. You have now, yeah, versus whoa. LA Knight's pop is just as big as Cody's when the music hits. LA Knight's support is more organic than a song. But that's on me. That's on me. By the way, AJ Styles' new theme, I love it for the character. And just like the Cody Rhodes problem of it, the Judas problem of it, they went from song to not song. But AJ does a good job of having song and entrance music kind of being its own thing. So like if you repeat a chorus, that's a little bit different than having an entire set. So, all right, let's play a little bit more of this promo.
But that's in the rear view. We need to look forward. 3 weeks from now, I'm going to hop on a plane and I am going to fly to the first of our international premium live events, Backlash in the own France. And I am going to face one of the 6 competitors you see here tonight. It could be Santos Escobar.
He holds the title like a fucking tool.
Could be Rey Mysterio. Could be the fastest rising star in all of WWE, LA Knight. Yes. Can't talk about LA Knight without talking about AJ Styles.
So real quick, the LA Knight, yeah, and then Cody gives a nod to the crowd like, oh, that's dope. And then he says yes with a smirk like, haha, I just made it funny. I'm telling you, it's just not. I don't get it. I don't get this guy.
AJ and myself, 2 of the only 4 men who were ever NWA champion and WWE champion.
Cody, AJ, and 2 other people have been WWE champion and NWA champion. Who are the other two? Ric Flair. And I don't know. Who's the other one? Kevin Nash? Maybe I'll look that up. I'm sure you guys know.
Then there's Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley. And of course, I can't leave out my friend, Kevin Owens. Like all friends who happen to be wrestlers, Kevin thinks he is better than me, bell to bell. I think I am better than him. Sometimes there's only one way to find out. If you'll forgive me for a moment, it's not lost on me that we are very sold out here tonight. I'm going to briefly turn my back on this camera because I want to see everybody in here tonight.
It looks like Bruno Sammartino, Ric Flair, and then it would be AJ and Cody. That's what's up.
This is also fresh for me. I am no longer the hunter, but I am the hunted. And my message for those six competitors here tonight, if you come at the king, you best not miss.
Who did he steal that from? If you come at the king, you best not miss? Nico doesn't talk that way, man.
On the blue brand, on SmackDown.
Sorry. Cody might talk that way. Cody Reynolds, the person, might talk that way. But Cody Rhodes, the dignitary, the politician in the suit that comes out here and says wartime overtures, doesn't say things like, when you come for the king, you best not miss. That is a CM Punk-style stolen line from years past to get a pop from a crowd. Cody is, again, lacking the authenticity in the character or the person that tend to blend over each other a lot. Let's see what else is said.
Familiar with me, I will make it easy for you. My name is Cody Rhodes. Once undesirable, become undeniable.
And completely underwhelming.
WWE Champion.
From undesirable to undeniable to unable to hold the title. The guy cannot. Oh, shit. We got music. Hit the wrong button. Got you. Done. All right. So that's something that I had to play because I watched the entire SmackDown and I'm like, it's the only thing I didn't like. It's the only thing I didn't like about SmackDown was what Cody had to say. And for those reasons. So when I come on here and I talk about Cody and I talk this shit and I talk that shit, this is why. I just laid out for you how watching it makes me feel. And he doesn't have to play to this podcast. He doesn't. If he listened and he did, let me mute this real quick because I want to run through SmackDown so I don't forget anything. I could probably do that with Raw too, to be honest. But I'm going to end up getting up with March with Wrestling on the Rocks. So I don't want to say too much. I want to give respect to that show for sure. Okay. Let's talk about the Bloodline real quick because that happened. All right. I'll talk about the rest of the stuff with March and Wrestling on the Rocks. I'm not sure when we're going live, but just stay tuned to the TW Takes podcast at WOTR The Show and we'll let you know. Or just go to look up Wrestling on the Rocks on YouTube and subscribe to the channel so when it goes live, you'll catch us when we do go live. Also, there's a Thursday night show that does AEW and other indie things with Miss Amanda Jane and Digi. So anyway, let's talk about the Bloodline real quick. Number one, the debut of Tama Tonga, who I have a little bit of familiarity with. I know he was in Guerrillas of Destiny, and I saw them in Impact couple years ago, NJPW stuff, very solid tag team. As an individual, I don't know much about his wrestling acumen, also not directly related to the Anoa'i family. That's okay. That's okay. But because the bloodline was headed that way, but it's not for me to decide who is and isn't in the bloodline, right? So having the Pacific Island connection is where they're going with it, and that's more than fine with me. And I only say this because based off the bloodline tree that was put up there, you know, they're not directly related to Tama Tonga. But Ming is a badass, so, you know, who better to have a part of your family than Ming? So, yeah, look, I'm fine with it, of course, because now the bloodline gets to tell another story. It looks like Solo is getting to tell his story. So his version of what this bloodline is going to look like until Roman comes back, fantastic. The previews or the what am I trying to say? The fucking the announcers and all that shit. They were all saying, you know, an order of the tribal chief, the tribal chief, the tribal chief. The tribal chief is Roman Reigns for now, as we know. Roman has said that Solo is up next. Roman could have easily given power to Solo. Solo could have easily taken the power. We don't know. The very first name of this podcast that I was going to make it was going to be called How We See It. And that's because when you back up how and we together, you get WWE at the end. And when I would search podcasts 10, 12 years ago when I first started listening, there was no WWE podcast. So I was like, or no podcast with WWE in the name. So I was like, let me use that, right? But it was also the truth of what, or on how I watch wrestling. So the how we see it is how do I see it? How do I see what's being portrayed? Not how do I see it going in the future. It's how I see exactly what's on TV. And exactly what was shown on TV is they said the words by orders of the tribal chief, a new based off the tribal chief, there's a good chance that Roman didn't tell Paul Heyman anything. And there's just as good a chance as Solo is calling himself the tribal chief now. All are possibilities, and we don't know. And the best part about not knowing is having to watch. So I had a little bit of a WrestleMania hangover. I wasn't too into watching right away. You know, life as well. But mostly because, you know, with Roman gone, Seth gone, Becky gone, just knowing that we were ushering in a new era, you know, yes, it's on me for not being willing to watch right away for that new era, but I kind of had to cleanse out the old stuff first. I had to kind of feel good about going in to watch something new. For instance, Bron Breakker came up and he's watching, or he beat the shit out of Cameron Grimes. Still like to see Cameron Grimes do some cool shit. But anyway, point is, in this new era that we're going to get, things are going to look and feel a little bit different. I do like what they've done on both shows when it comes to a new contender, right? They're not, they announced the draft and they're slowing things down, right? They're, well, fuck it. You know what? Let's just have a tournament. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Let's just have a tournament. It's nope, no worries. Let's just have a tournament. And that's cool. They're kind of leaving it. You know, because we've done this before with the draft, right? There'd be a feud. The draft would happen. And then they get drafted to the same place. And it's like, well, you know, duh. So it doesn't seem like they're going to create anything too intricate until the draft. And that's fine. But, like in years past, the draft is happening right before the pay-per-view. So what does that mean? That means that Cody and LA Knight or AJ Styles, whoever he's facing, or end up getting drafted to the same brand. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, a little bit of a bummer. But anyway, sorry, I had to take a sip there. Reason for coming on was to just shit all over Cody's presentation and talking, because now that WWE presentation with AEW wrestling is it looks like he's having some AEW freedom when it comes to his talking as well. And that leaves a lot to be desired. So I don't have anything else to talk about right now that I won't be talking over at Wrestling on the Rocks. And yes, I apologize that these are my thoughts, so they should be on my show. But this particular episode, at the time of doing this, I literally just finished SmackDown. So I didn't even get a chance to like double back and take notes. Like I told you, by the time I was done talking about Cody, I even forgot about the Bloodline stuff. So I will be able to, over time, gather my notes together when it comes to Wrestling on the Rocks. That'll happen. And then going forward, I will be doing, hopefully, both a little bit more frequently. I have about, let's see here, about another, I would say, month or two until I kind of figure out the most consistent I can be. But let's just keep these up. Let's keep these one-offs happening when I get, excuse me, sparked by an idea to really lay it down. It's a bummer that back-to-back episodes have to do with my displeasure of Cody, but it's the truth, and that's all I can do is just tell the truth. So let's see how it goes. Of course, it's all in letting them tell their stories, and by them I mean WWE, not these individual fuckbags. But no, in all seriousness, hopefully the Cody stuff can become a little bit more relatable, a little bit more palatable for those of us who don't enjoy him. But it's going to take a lot because, in my opinion, most of it has to do with the guy who's presenting the information, and hopefully his ways of presenting that information changes a little bit. But that's all I got for now. You guys enjoy life, have fun, all that good shit. If you want to reach me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter, TWTakesPodcast.com, BishopTWTakes@gmail.com. You know the deal. This is what we do. Go to YouTube / at TW Takes Podcast, I think is what it is. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Every once in a while, me and the Pawn will play some Fortnite on there. There'll be some times where I'll have to stream myself, and that's fine too. But we have a good time, and you know, we hit a couple victories, so it's always fun when you get a chance to win, especially when the pure joy of a 9-year-old winning at Fortnite. Man, the times we grew up in, man. But then again, if I beat Super Mario Brothers when I was 9, or I beat Sonic when I was 9, I probably would have freaked out the same way that he does. But anyway, yeah, so subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can chat with us while we're playing Fortnite. Whenever that ends up happening, hit the alert button. Or I guess subscribe is the alert button. See, I don't know how this shit works. That's why I don't focus on YouTube. But anyway, yeah, so that's it. Check out the YouTube channel, TWTakesPodcast.com, at TWTakesPodcast on Twitter. And when it comes to the future, I will be doing NXT Stand and Deliver. I will be doing a full-on WrestleMania episode. I don't care how far out it goes, because at the end of the day, getting the opinions and thoughts out on those things do need to happen. I will be picking up NXT a little bit more often. I just got to get through a couple things of watching, and then I'll be consistently on. And that's part of it, right? I mean, how many times am I going to sign off this fucking thing? All right. As I do, I keep it honest with you guys. I try to keep it 100 as much as I can. When it comes to watching TV, there's only so much time in the day now. So we're finishing up a couple things that we watch together as the three of us. And then we got to get into the things we watch as the two of us, whether it's me and the missus or me and the Pawn. And then there's the stuff that I do by myself. So all of these things have to happen, and the time just isn't there to catch everything all together. So I just watched SmackDown in a couple hours. They'll be watching SmackDown, and I'll be working. That's just kind of how this thing's lining up. So because I was able to do that, bang, done, good to go. NXT is going to happen the same way. I'm really loving the product of NXT, so I cannot wait to watch and talk about that as well, because I think they're really heading in a great direction. I don't mind the champions showing up, announcing for the draft, wrestling beforehand. That doesn't bother me at all. Exposure means something. Okay? So again, we'll see how it all lays out. Just stay tuned, stay subscribed. I appreciate all the support. More content coming as much as I can. And that's all I can promise. Until I sell my laptop, until I sell my microphone or headphones or whatever the fuck, I'll keep doing this. You guys heard it. The last one was done in the car without either one of those. You know what I mean? So, all right, y'all. For the last time this episode, I promise I'm signing off. At TW Takes Podcast on Twitter, TWTakesPodcast.com. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel and watch me and my kid play Fortnite. All right. I'm out.